Hawaii coffee growers have been battling a significant pest since it was first discovered in Kona in 2010. Earlier this year, the coffee berry borer turned up on Maui, and the state extended its quarantine, much to the chagrin of some Maui growers whose farms were still free of the beetle. Chris Manfredi is the director of the statewide Hawaii Coffee Association. We called him for an update on the status of coffee on the Big Island and throughout the state. And in just a few days, the Big Island will be celebrating the Kauai's District Coffee Festival. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you, Bethany.
So how well contained is the coffee berry borer now on the Big Line, on the Big Island? And on average, how much of the crop has to be written off?
Well, it's not contained at all. The quarantine helps manage the spread of it. But on the Big Island, it's virtually everywhere coffee is being grown. It's a fact of life all over the coffee-growing world, and now also true in Hawaii.
So how much of the crop feels the impact of this? How much is just unusable?
Well, it varies from farm to farm. We've gotten a lot of help from county, state, and federal officials to help battle the bug in terms of subsidies and education efforts, research on the part of university and federal researchers. It ranges anywhere from 2% loss to 100% loss, depending on how aggressive and how capable the particular farmer is in managing the pest.
So how are coffee farmers faring? And you mentioned that that's a huge range. You think about somebody losing their entire farm and crop to someone who may only lose 2% or 10% or even 20%.
Well, the 100% infestation is going to be a high extreme, and that would be a situation experienced either in wild coffee or in a farmer that's not really addressing the problem at all. Those are the exception. The average infestation level is somewhere around 10%. What the coffee berry borer problem has done is separate real farmers from some farmers that maybe were not real serious about farming.
And we've heard sort of rumors of that, of this has sort of been the defining line for a lot of farmers who are doing it really to produce a crop, and others who are doing it maybe perhaps more hobby oriented or just letting it grow and seeing what happens. What about labor issues? Are there enough people out there to be employed to help combat the farm?
Well, labor shortages are making themselves even more known than in past seasons. Changes in climate have moved the coffee harvest in Kau to overlap more with coffee harvests in Kona. And the competition for labor last year was a major issue and continues to be. I'm hearing reports of as much as 20% of the crop was wasted for an inability to harvest it in a timely way.
Which is in particularly insulting when you think about the fact that you're already coping with the coffee berry borer. What about bringing in labor? Is that something that you're feeling frustration with?
Yeah, that is being done. Obviously, we have some concerns about changes in policy, and we're addressing those on the state, local, and federal level.
You're talking about being able to get visas for workers.
Yes. And also, the harvest labor issue also plays with the coffee berry borer problem, because if coffee is not harvested in the field and it's left on the ground or on the trees, those beans or cherries act as a reservoir for coffee berry borer, and they will emerge again in the following season. So one of the most important things a farmer can do to control coffee berry borer is field sanitation, getting the old berries out of the field so that the berry borer doesn't have anywhere to live.
But that's labor-intensive work, and if you don't have enough people to do it, as you say, you're just making a magnet for the coffee berry borer to find its way and to complete it's inroads into another infestation. You were recently at the Global Specialty Coffee Expo in Seattle. How was Hawaii coffee regarded, and any change in the way that they were looking at Hawaii coffee?
Well, Hawaii coffee is among some of the finest coffees grown anywhere in the world. Hawaii coffee is also some of the most expensive coffee anywhere in the world, and part of that is due to the high cost of production. It's imperative that Hawaii produces some of the best coffees possible to be able to earn that price. We've done a very good new effort to, in my opinion, promote Hawaiian coffees to the world in a much more refined way. This year, the Hawaii Coffee Association, working with some contractors and designers, developed a new booth where we had essentially a coffee cafe on the show floor that was staffed by professional baristas, and we represented coffees from all around the state. All the coffees that were served in that booth were pre-judged by an independent cupping panel to ensure that we're serving Hawaii's best crop and representing Hawaii as a premium coffee growing origin.
Which may be
putting our best crop out there.
Yeah,
presented in a way that it ought to be presented.
But Chris, I mean, as you've been talking about, that may become even more difficult if you don't have enough coffee to be able to do it, because simply there's a want of labor and sanitation practices. Well, we wish you all the best and hope all things go well with the Ka'u Coffee Festival coming up. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you.
Chris Manfredi is the director of the statewide Hawaii Coffee Association. And again, the coffee festival, the Ka'u Coffee Festival, will be held from May 19th through the 28th.